Fathers are struggling today. Some fathers are struggling today because the wife wants him to be the husband she visioned him to be. And before I go farther on in my lesson, let's read our text for this morning in St. John chapter 8 and verses 29. Notice what Jesus said. He said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. I need you to lock in on please him. Because as I said, some fathers are struggling today because the wife wants him to be the husband she visioned him to be. The children want him to be the father they vision him to be. The world want him to be the husband and father they vision him to be. Then he becomes frustrated because he is being pulled in different directions. And so I want to say to the fathers this morning, please God. Fathers, you can't please everybody. So you need to please God. Because when you please God, everyone that is godly will be pleased. Got to be. There is no way in the world that when you pleasing God as a father, that those who are godly won't be pleased. So stop trying to please everybody. Please God. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 18, the Bible tells us about Jehoshaphat and King Ahab. Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him. But Jehoshaphat asked him a question. Did you consult the prophets? And Ahab said, yes, I consulted the prophets. And the prophets said, yes, go on to battle. And Jehoshaphat said, is there any other prophet? And Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, there is one prophet. He said, I don't like him. I don't like him because he never prophesied anything good to me. Notice what he tells Jehoshaphat. Yes, they got a lot of prophets on my side, but they only have one prophet that is in opposition against me. And notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 12 and 13, then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah. Now notice, they sent a messenger out to go talk to this one prophet. And notice, the Bible says, and he spoke to him saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement to him. Now it sounds like that Ahab and the prophets are on good terms with God. And Micaiah is one of those negative prophets, just don't want to do right. But notice now in verses 13, and Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that will I speak. Micaiah said, I don't care how many prophets give you the green light. I'm going to come tell you what God said. And when you read the story,
Micaiah told him, don't go to the battle. But what is my point? My point is this. Fathers ought to have the attitude of Micaiah. I don't care what the family say. I'm going to tell you what God say. I don't care what the world say. I'm going to operate according to what God says. You see, the husband who is living to please God, the family will see a change in his values. The family will see a change in his behavior because he is the provider for the family. He meets the needs of the family. He provides shelter. He provides clothing. He provides food. Now notice something. God said a husband is the provider for the family, but the family tell the husband, look, this is how you're going to provide for me. That's where we get in trouble. You get in trouble because you're trying to provide for the family and you don't have the means to provide the way they want you to provide. You see, this is the problem. The problem is when we dating one another, we don't talk about finance. Huh? The family ought to be submissive to the husband, and not only to the husband, to his financial situation. Huh? If you're making $30,000 a year, you can't provide $50,000 a year for the family. They must understand that. And so therefore, he is not to take the funds from the family and do what he wants and not meet the needs of the family. The man is to provide for his family. God didn't say that he got to have steak and potatoes on the table every time the family say, this is what we want. He don't go out and buy $200-$300 a pair of shoes because this is what the family wants. He suggests that this would be make, and this is how we're going to have to live under this. And if we can't live under this, then yeah, we're going to have to try to find other means to earn extra income. And I understand the way society is that you got to work two jobs. I understand that. But you ought to be working. If you got to work two jobs, you got to talk to God and ask God to make sure that you are able to come to the house of worship. We got to learn how to live within our means. And fathers are struggling because they're trying to provide for the family what they want, what the family want, and not what God want. I ain't never read in the Bible what the Bible said that I got to provide a dress for $5,000, a $500 dress. Not only must he provide for the family and meet the needs of the family and not the wants. Too many times we providing wants and not needs. And the wants are depleting our bank account. And when the wants deplete our bank account and the family sitting around and say, we see a lot of stuff we want, but that's not what we need. Then you start trying to explain how that happened. And they look at you and say, well, you the daddy. You the man. You should have known. But when the pressure is on, you forget about God and start pleasing the family. But not only must he provide the need for the family, but he must provide godly influence. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. They need to see you in action when it comes to your service to God. When you tell them they need to obey you because you are their father, they understand that. But they also know that God is all of our fathers who are Christians. But their observation of you, your behavior towards the Heavenly Father is the same reason you are chastising them. other words, they said, look, you want to chastise me and tell me I need to obey you because you are my father, but yet you disobey your heavenly father. That's inconsistent. Children respond to what they see faster than what they hear. Why do you think they got all these programs on television trying to sway our children? We as fathers must set the proper example for our children. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 through 4. Notice what Peter said. The elders who are among you, exalt who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lord over those entrusted to you, but notice now, but being an example to the flock. He say, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter said, you ought to be an example to the flock. You can't expect people to obey you and you not being an example of God. But not only must he provide and meet their needs and provide a godly influence, but he also must provide discipline. Proverbs 25:28, whosoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. What are you saying? He's telling you that just like a wall is broken down, every enemy can attack and take over that city. And just like a man who has no control over his spirit, every kind of temptation can come in his life and overthrow him. He will discipline his children when they need it. And it doesn't always need to be with a belt. Now, I'm not against that, because there are some kids you don't have to whip them with a belt. There are some kids you can sit down and talk with them and they'll understand and they'll obey you. But then there also are those who need a belt to their backside. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 24, the Bible says, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him discipline him diligently. He said in Proverbs 22 and verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. He says in Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I know sometimes we as children are howling and scream like we being murdered and killed, but we still living. We still living. Somebody say, he shouldn't have beat me like that. Well, you should have followed orders. Now, notice now, I understand the difference between a whipping and abuse. The Bible doesn't encourage us to abuse our children. Paul already said, provoke not your children to wrath. And if your child understands that you are abusing them, they're going to be angry with you. Not angry with you because you disciplined them when they needed it, but you abused them. They know the difference. You know, the world like to play those games. He says in Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now notice that. Now he says that he will deliver him. But not only
is the father is a disciplinary, but he also is the protector of the family. He knows the danger that are out there. So many kids get in trouble because they was at the wrong place with the wrong people. Everyone that say they are your friend or not. There are some people that allow you to hang around them because they're looking for somebody to take the fall. Notice what Psalms 1:1 said, following, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What he's saying, he said, if you walk in the ways of God, you will prosper. You will be always able to bear good fruit. Notice what he says in Proverbs 4 and verse 13 following. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the ways of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Some people will tell you, you act like you're trying to avoid me. And you need to tell them, I'm not trying, I am avoiding you. And it is the reason why I'm avoiding you. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 15, avoid it, do not travel on it, turn away from it, and pass on. As long as you continue to walk down the path, the wrong pathway, I don't care if we cousins or not, I'm not going to follow you. I don't care if we've been friends since we was in first grade. I'm not going to follow you. I don't care if you're my wife. I'm not going to follow you. I don't care if you're my husband. I'm not going to follow you. I don't care if you're my children. I'm not going to follow you. Because the Bible said, avoid those that are wicked. And we act like the only folk that are wicked are outside the family. Better wake up. He is willing to stand up and protect his family from those who seek to do them harm, and to die if that's what it takes. He does not seek revenge, but in a moment of an attack, he will stand tall and defend his family, because that's what God require of him. He is willing to stand up and protect his family from the devil who seeks to harm them. The devil's mission is to destroy us spiritually. That's the devil's aim. If the man is the head of the house, and the devil knows that, and so therefore the devil say he might be the head, he might be in position, but I'm going to do some things that are going to destroy that. See, he knows if he destroy the headship at the home, if he destroy the leadership at the home, then he know there can't be no leadership in the church. See, that's his plan. But we as children of God, we as our fathers in the home, we must be aware of the attacks of the devil. Huh? Father walk around the house. He check all the doors, they're locked. That's good. He check the alarm system is on. That's fine. But I'm here to tell you that the devil can walk through closed doors. The devil can disown any alarm system you have. The devil have a way of removing any burglar bars that you have. Because those physical things don't stop the devil. You're going to protect the family. You're going to have to live godly. You're going to have to teach them what God says. And if they don't want to hear what God says, then you got to demonstrate by your action what God says. He don't care. The devil don't care how rich you are in the world. He don't care how popular you are in the world, because he know the time will come when you will lose your riches, because he knows the time will come when you will lose your popularity. In Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, when you die, you lose your riches. When you die, you lose your popularity. In Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Keep in mind, the devil don't care about all that, because he knows you're going to the grave. He knows your riches can't follow you. He knows your popularity can't follow you. But what he do know is this, that your spirituality can follow you. If you're faithful to God, it can follow you. And therefore the devil, he'd rather you be somebody on this side of the cross and nobody on the other side of the cross. 1 Peter 5:8. Notice what Peter said. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. Let me tell you something. Fathers, don't allow the devil to devour you, because if he devour you, he coming to the family, he coming to the wife, he coming to the children. You got to be strong. Therefore, we must implement the word of God in our life and teach it to our family. Our children go to schools and being taught that the Bible have no place in our society. Young Christians have went off to college and became atheists because some professor told them God is not real. It's amazing to me how people can believe in the words of the creation and not in the words of the Creator. We got to turn it around. Paul said in Romans 1:25, these people have exchanged God's truth for a lie, so they have become ungodly and serve what is created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice Romans 10:17. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whoever has your ear has your future in the palms of his hand. That's why as fathers, we can't go run to the world and let the world tell us what it is to be a good father. Huh? We can't run to the man next door and ask him to help us be a good father. We got to come to the word of God, and we got to ask God, God, I want to be a godly father, and I need you to show me how to be a godly father. Whoever has your ear has your future in the palm of their hand. And I know this. Not only he must provide protection for his children, for his family, but he understands that he is a steward. He is a steward. A steward is the managing something for someone else. Nothing he has in his possession belongs to him. I know we think we own everything, but you don't own nothing. Not even the clothes on your back. Somebody say, I got up, I went to work, I worked hard for what I have, but But I'm here to tell you, if God wouldn't have touched you this morning, touched you on Monday morning, you wouldn't be able to get up and go work and able to have the things that you have. Psalms 50 and verse 10 following, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on the thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Now notice, he said in verse 12, if I was hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Notice what God said. God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. You can understand that. How many times you thought about something you need and you thought about people who can provide for you and you said to yourself, so-and-so can't do nothing for me. So you start looking for somebody that is above so-and-so. So God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you because you couldn't do anything about it anyway. Because you don't own nothing. Our children are not ours to keep, but to train them in the ways of God. 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 following, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We ought to be faithful stewards of God. Whatever God blessed us with, we ought to not be careless with it. We ought to take care of it. We always say, God, bless me with this. Bless me with that. And when God bless you with it, what do? You don't even take care of it. You let it get run down. You let it get corroded. You don't even take time to clean it up, but you want God to bless you with stuff. Huh? Because you are a steward of the things that God bless you with. If somebody said, I came to church and I saw somebody washing their God. Yes, that's a call that somebody was blessed with. And they're trying to take care of it. But the problem is, you don't take care of it when you need to be in God's house. But we need to take care of the things that God has blessed us with because we are the stewards of God. Huh? Don't let people tell you that stuff old-fashioned. That stuff come back around again. It come back around again. Fathers, please God, or God will deal with you. Now, here's the problem. When I'm trying to please my wife, I'm trying to please my children, and I'm not pleasing God, God will deal with me. Rest assured. So now, I'm in a situation. I'm in a situation that I want to please my family, but I want to please God. But I'm here to tell you, you better stand with God. Huh? Somebody said, well, you don't know. I'm going to be sleeping on the sofa. If you got to sleep on the sofa, brother, sleep on the sofa. Sleep on the sofa. Huh? Because the sofa is temporary. If I die in my sin, it's eternity. I don't worry about sleeping on the sofa. It's not like you slept on the sofa before. Adam was kicked out of the garden because he pleased Eve. That's why he was kicked out. Huh? Notice in Genesis 3:11, and he said, who told you that you was naked? In other words, when they ate off that forbidden fruit, the Bible said that the devil deceived Eve, and she brought it to Adam. Now she brought it to Adam, that tells me something. Adam saw what it looked like. He knew what it was. But yet he still ate it. Why you ate it, Adam? I want to please Eve. But notice, God said, who told you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you that you should not eat? God said, wait a minute. You done disobeyed me. Let me tell you something. Adam, if he would have stuck with God, I don't know how God would have dealt with Eve. I don't know. But maybe God would have destroyed Eve, put Adam back to sleep, and made another woman. I don't know. But I tell you one thing. Adam should have stood his ground. And a lot of fathers, they don't stand their ground when it comes to God's word. I'm here to tell you, I can compromise. I'm not worrying about what color the carpet ought to be. I'm not worrying about all of that. But when it comes to what God said, I'm going to stand my ground. If she want me to sleep on a sofa, so be it. If she pack her bags and say, I'm going off to mama's house, I'm going to tell you, I'll be here when you come back. But one thing for sure, I'm not going to jeopardize my soul trying to please you. See, that's what I'm saying. When a father please God, everybody that's godly going to be pleased. Going to be pleased. Only person not going to be pleased is a person that's ungodly. That's the only people. But notice, Genesis 3:12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. All right, Adam, God gave you the woman. God put you in the garden. God showed you what you ought to eat and what you ought not to eat. But when it came to you eating the fruit, it had nothing to do with Eve. It had everything to do with you. I know a lot of women like to try to play mind control games. But I'm here to tell you, you better stay focused on God. Notice in verses 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Notice what he said. Because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I command you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. He said, therefore, in Genesis 3:23, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Notice that Adam was kicked out of the garden because he wanted to please Eve. See, you got to stay focused. William, when a father pleased God, he pleasing his family. He pleasing his family. And if there's something that he's doing that's not Bible and he think it's Bible, then he ought to be godly enough to listen to his family. When they say, I understand what you're saying and I understand what you're doing, but I believe that you're pulling this text out of context. Can't get mad with the family. Who are you to tell me when I'm pulling out of context? We all have to learn. We all don't have it all right. You need to have enough love to listen. But Adam was kicked out of the garden. And God said, because you heed the voice of your wife. God said, they had two voices talking to you. One was your wife, and one was your creator. And you choose to listen to the creation rather than the creator. And that's why you got kicked out of the garden. But I'm here to tell you something is more at stake than the garden, eternal life. And if you don't follow God's standard, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, Where I am, you can't come. But not only Adam was kicked out of the garden, Solomon's heart turned away from God because he wanted to please his ungodly wife. God told him not to marry these strange women. God said, I don't want you to marry them. He didn't say, I didn't want you to marry them because of the color of their skin. He said, I don't want you to marry them because they're poor. He said, I don't want you to marry them because they're going to turn your heart away from following me. And sure enough, Solomon, a wise man, decided that the voice he was going to listen to would be the voice of his wives. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. He started out on the right path, ended up on the wrong path. You have a lot of people that are up in age, probably more close to the grave than other people. Instead of becoming wise, you're beginning to be foolish. That was Solomon. Bible said when he got old, he got foolish. God told Solomon, you're hearing two voices, Solomon. You're hearing two voices. You hear one from me and one from your wife. And you choose to hear your wives. And that's why you're in a predicament you are. The devil will try to destroy two things that the godly father has in his heart. Number one, the devil will try to destroy your purpose. Your purpose is to please God. And the devil said, look, this guy is a strong father, and I can't touch him from within. So therefore, I'm going to look around him and see where his heart lies. And I'm going to find out if he loves God or he loves his wife. I'm going to find out if he loves God or if he loves his children. And somebody said, no, you can't pit the man between his wife and God. You can't pit the man between his children and God. You see, the devil saying, I found out something. Even though he a strong father, his wife weak. I can't operate through him, but I'm going to operate through her. The devil found out something. His children are weak. I can't operate through him, but I'm going to operate through them. I'm going to have them to cause so much trouble in the home that he ain't going to have no choice but to throw his hand up and surrender. But I'm saying to you, the devil is a liar. Doesn't matter what he throw your way. Fathers, all you got to do is stand and please God. I don't care. You might go to the elders and say, look, my husband is doing this and he's doing that. But yet the elders going to say, well, seems like everything you're telling me is biblical. It seems like to me he pleasing God. What's your argument? Your purpose. Then the second thing the devil won't try to do. Not only won't he trying to destroy your purpose, but he also trying to destroy your focus. Your focus is to carry out the will of God, is to focus on God. See, when I watched that Ten Commandments, I ain't read it in the Bible, but I don't like that statement that Moses' wife made. He told Nefertiti, you lost him when he went seeking his God. He said, I lost him when he found his God. How in the world You lost your husband because he found God. Huh? Why? Because he was not submitted to you anymore. He was submitted to God. Come to find out the things that you wanted him to do since he met God and since God changed him, he found out something what you've been having me to do wasn't right according to God's sight. I have to change. Now you lost him. Come on, come on. That's foolishness. You got to stay focused. And you see, that's why I talked about before motherhood. Before you become a wife. If you're not going to follow a man that's following God, you need to let him know on the spot. Before you run down the aisle talking about you in love and you won't get married. Better find out those things first. You need to sit that man down and say, look, how much you making a year? He ought to not be offended. She just want to know if you can support the family. If you're not making what you need to be making, she needs to sit down and say, this is what we need to make before you get married. Don't try to start all that stuff up after you get married. Fathers got to please God. See, they got some of our young people, you know, they're all in love. And they say to you, you act like you never been. Yes, I've been there. That's why I'm able to give you some wisdom now. Instead of you pick up the wisdom, you just trying to say, well, you did it so I can do it. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to create a problem for yourself, for your wife, and for your family. So as I close this morning, fathers, please God. So what have we learned? Number one, we learned fathers is the provider. And there's no need for you to sit me down, for the family to sit me down and tell me how I'm going to provide for them. Oh, no, no. God already told me how to provide. Everybody can't live behind a gated fence. Everybody can't live on a house on a hill. And you're not going to cause me to go in depression. Because you're not happy. I heard somebody say, I'm not going to be on medication while you on vacation. Ain't going to happen. Huh? You all stressed out. Because you're trying to figure out how I'm going to please my wife and my children. And all you got to do is please God. But not only the father is the provider, but he also is the protector. He protects the family. If he got to take a blow, he going to take a blow if he have to. If somebody in a moment want to strike at his family, he going to stand in front and protect his family. But he's not going to go seek revenge. After it all said and done, he's not going to grab a pistol and go run around town looking for somebody. He let the law handle. He's not going out to seek revenge. Sometimes, wives, you got to learn how to lay off the home. You driving somewhere, somebody in the way, you want baby, baby, baby. You don't know who you're dealing with. Then the man got to get out the car and defend you because you wasn't patient. You don't know who you're dealing with. Huh? Just be careful. I was driving somewhere. Somebody just in the middle of the street just talking. I just sit down and I'm patient. I didn't give them the eye or nothing. Huh? It's not that I'm scared. But if I'm not willing to go all the way, I need not move at all. Let it go. We are protectors. You can't create a problem. And throw the husband in the midst of it. Because even then, he must be godly in his action. The third thing we learn, that the father is a steward. You don't own nothing. Never did, never will. You don't, someone said you never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse. Somebody said, oh, yes, I have. My next question is, how far did it go? How far did it go? When you make your transition from debt and to the other side, only thing you're going to carry with you is the fruit of the Spirit, the things that are godly. How they can lay you in that coffin, they can have you hugging all of your money. I guarantee you, if they got somebody watching it, when somebody come back a month later, you still going to be hugging all your money. Not going nowhere. Money can't do you any good on the other side. The fourth thing we learn, the only one the Father needs to please is God. Only one. And when you please God, everybody else is pleased. Can you imagine if just this city decide, I'm going to please God for one day. If they decide they're going to please God for one day and sincere, you will not have a murder in this city that day. You won't have a murder in this city that day. You won't have a rape. You won't have any crime in this city that day because God forbids those things. And if you say you want to please God that one day, and people are all in an uproar about people killing one another and trying to find solutions, the solution is in the Word of God, the book you're trying to kick out of the society. That's where the solution is. Because when somebody loves like God said love, you're not going to seek to do your neighbor harm. So, fathers, today, I want to encourage you to enjoy your day. And I want to encourage you to live for God. You see, there may be some turbulence in the house. I know, like the plan hit some turbulence. You're going to probably have some turbulence in the house because the devil is going to start working on somebody. The devil is going to say, yeah, that sounds good coming from the pulpit. Yeah, you might have heard that. But now we're going to see if you're going to be able to demonstrate that. Don't worry about those turbulence. You stand firm on God's word. And I guarantee you it'll work out if you stand firm on the word of God. If you're a child of God this morning and you sin in any way, the fact that you're here, you can make it right. All God requires you as a child of God to acknowledge your wrong before him, to repent of it, to confess it. And he'll forgive you of your sins and put you back on a straight and narrow. But if you're not a member of the Lord's church this morning, the Bible tells us that you got to hear the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing and hearing come by the word of God. You must have faith. Then the Bible said, once you have faith, you got to believe what you heard. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day. You have to believe that. Then the Bible said that you must repent. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you all likewise will perish. Then the Bible said that you must confess Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Then the Bible says that you must be willing to be buried in the water of river baptism. For what purpose? For the remission of sin. One cannot be saved without baptism. One cannot be saved without baptism. One can't be saved by saying a sinner's prayer. If some preacher done told you, just say this prayer after me, and you saved, I'm here to tell you this morning, you not saved. I don't say that to be arrogant or prideful. I say that because I love you, and I don't know when I'm ever get a chance to talk to you again, so I need you to leave here knowing the truth. And if your preacher won't talk to me, I'd be glad to sit down and talk to him. I don't have nothing to hide. If he prove I'm wrong, I change the day. I change quick in a hurry. You have to be baptized, according to Acts 2:38. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that. You have to be baptized. For what purpose? For the remission of sin. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many people have told you they received the Holy Spirit before they was baptized? That's inconsistent with the word of God. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 to 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the world want to say, he that believeth is saved. That's not what the Bible says. Paul said in Acts 22, 16, he was told by Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You got a couple of voices that are talking to you this morning. Your denominational preacher and God. Which one are you going to hear this morning? Because your soul is at stake right now if you make the wrong decision. Because you may not never get a chance to make that decision again. God haven't promised you that you got to hear his word 3, 4, 5, 6 times and wait for you to make a decision. You need to make that decision today before the everlasting too late. You come down this morning, we'll baptize you today if you understand what you need to do. Because baptism is for the remission of sin. So as we stand and sing the invitation song, I trust it.